The 563rd Corn Belt Farm Hour is on the air. This is a red letter day on the Corn Belt Farm Hour broadcast. Not only do we have the four top Iowa girls high school basketball teams and their coaches here for an interview, but we also have the nation's foremost agricultural spokesman. He is Secretary of Agriculture Clinton Anderson. Here to do the honors are the WHO Farm Department men, Farm Service Director Herb Plambeck, Howard Hass, and Chuck Forbes. Of course, the Corn Belt Farm Hour orchestra is present, and they open the program with A Breeze and I. Thanks a lot, folks. And now to our Corn Belt Hour director, Herb Plambeck, with his very distinguished guest. Herb?
Yes, Bobby, we do have a most distinguished guest. As you said earlier, we have the nation's foremost agricultural spokesman with us for today's Corn Belt Hour. We're grateful to Secretary of Agriculture Anderson for arranging his schedule in order to be with us. As many listeners know, Mr. Anderson will address the Jackson Day dinner in Des Moines tonight. Incidentally, WHO plans to carry a rebroadcast of the Secretary's speech at 10:30 tomorrow night. Mr. Secretary, our discussion, of course, will deal with aspects of the long-range farm program in this country. But first, let me explain that the 75 or more charming young ladies you see here are Iowa's top girls basketball stars, and that many of them are farm girls. You have a very charming daughter of your own at home, I happen to know because I've had the privilege of meeting her. So I assume you feel right at home here among these fine girls.
Oh, yes, except that my daughter wasn't a basketball player, but I think she should have been. She admits she's 5'11" 3/4 inches tall, which means she's over 6 feet.
What a guard she would have made. Mr. Secretary, it's been snowing every second since you've been here, and as a matter of fact, as you can see, it's been snowing most of this week. I thought you might have an observation on our Iowa weather before we go into the long-range farm program.
Well, isn't this normal? I spoke here at Des Moines a good many years ago in the month of March, and we drove here from another spot, and it was snow all the way and snow as I left. I assume this is what makes the corn. I don't know.
You'll be very disappointed if you come here sometime and it isn't snowing then.
Oh, absolutely. I'm never going to come here in summer now. I used to go to Lake Okoboji over in this part of the state and thought it was very, very nice, but I wouldn't recognize it if there wasn't snow on the ground.
Well, actually, we don't always have snow, but I think we should get into our little visit here about long-range farm programs. Mr. Secretary, we've been having a lot of discussion about the meaning of the recent break in grain and livestock prices. And I noticed in the news reports the other day that you regard the price break as a story with a moral.
That's correct, Herb. And the moral of the story is that we need legislation for long-range farm policy and programs without delay. This recent experience has reminded us that farm prices can break very fast. They've done so in the past. they can do so in the future. And we can't afford to wait any longer for the answers to a lot of unsettled questions.
The question I hear most, Mr. Secretary, has to do with the future of price supports.
Well, that's the first question, of course, because the Stegall Amendment expires at the end of this year. As things stand now, we don't know whether we'll have any price supports at all after the end of the year on so-called Stegall commodities. Potatoes, hogs, eggs, chickens, turkeys, milk, butterfat, the oil crops of soybeans, peanuts, and flaxseed, and a few other crops. Farmers need a little time to plan their operations, and they should have been informed long before now whether they could expect price supports past December 31st on these commodities. Not only that, it would be sort of handy to know what the level of support is going to be. Is it going to be the present 90% of parity, or some other percentage? And will parity be the same measure it is now? Or will parity be modernized to reflect more realistic relationships among commodities? Or will the whole concept of parity be thrown out and a new concept substituted, as a very prominent Republican has advocated?
Well, I take it then that you wouldn't be satisfied with a simple extension of the present price support legislation.
I certainly would not. And more important, would the farmer be satisfied? I think not. Although even a simple extension of present legislation would help some. For example, it would allow us to make some kind of an announcement to potato growers. At present, we can't promise to support potato prices past December 31. And look at what we can run into if we have potato supports up to that date, but not afterward. Assume we get another big crop of late potatoes and no supports past the end of December. There would be a strong tendency for the farmer to take the support price while he could, and let the government worry about distributing all the potatoes that would normally go to market in January, February, and on into the spring. We're in better position on the so-called basic commodities, corn, wheat, cotton, tobacco, rice, and peanuts for nuts. The present support levels, as we read the law, would continue through the marketing year instead of terminating on the 31st of December. But even for these crops, we need answers that lie beyond the scope of present legislation. For one thing, the farmer doesn't want to be left to the mercy of every breeze that blows. Postpone permanent action, and the farmer still won't know what to count on for more than a few months. He can't plan his own long-range operations. He can't even be sure what kind of a rotation he wants to use. We saw the importance of price supports in the recent price break. There was no panic, no rush to market, because everybody knew there was a point below which prices could not go. Back in the 1920s, prices kept on going down. After 12 years of emergency, farmers got emergency legislation. We don't want to depend on emergency legislation anymore.
Secretary Anderson, you indicated there are problems other than those of price support that require legislation in the near future. We discussed that at length at breakfast time and since. Would you tell us, or rather tell our radio listeners, what some of those problems you are that you have in mind?
Well, that's a big subject, Herb, but suppose I list just a few items. One problem is whether we'll be able to shift, as I think we should, toward more emphasis on livestock production as the abnormal demand for grain goes down. Our people want more livestock products. But will our policy and programs help us or hinder us if we try to go that direction? What is our policy on soil conservation? Are we going to cut down public aid to conservation, as Congress has done this year? Or are we going to make the conservation effort greater, as President Truman has requested for next year? This is not a year-to-year problem. It demands a long-range answer. What is our policy on surpluses? Shall we try to prevent them by encouraging livestock production and maintaining a floor under consumption? Or are the pre-war programs adequate? I think we should try to consume our abundance before we try to cut it down. What is our policy with regard to the special problems that many rural areas face? The shortage of health facilities, lack of parity in education and job opportunities. That's only a short list, Herb, but I hope it answers your question.
Well, I wish we had the time, or rather that you had the time, to deal with some of those questions of conservation and farm machinery and farm commergy and many other things, but we know that isn't possible. You have other appointments. But I do have another question, and that question is about timing. Is it your opinion that the country has had enough time to study post-war problems so that long-range legislation is now feasible.
Well, why study some more? Haven't we studied enough to have a basis for legislation? Why make people wait another 2, 4, or 6 years to be able to vote for or against those who settle farm policy questions? All during the war, the Department of Agriculture was getting ready for post-war by setting up special planning groups. We have reported at length to Congress, and congressional committees have gone all over the land asking questions and gathering facts. Farm people, farm organization leaders, and state college people have filled volume after volume with studies, proposals, and testimony. The Senate group has already finished hearings and made its official report. I see no excuse for delay, for delay has dangerous ends.
Secretary Anderson, I know there are a great many who fully agree with you on that score. And of course, in this section, we did have some of the agricultural committees making inquiries into the long-range program. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Anderson, for an interesting and informative discussion. There are a lot of other appointments on your schedule, and of course, we have visits with these charming girls. I wish there'd been time to get into some of those other questions, the European agricultural recovery, and some of the others we heard mentioned at breakfast and otherwise this morning. But you'll deal with some things in your talk tonight to be rebroadcast over WHO at 10:30 tomorrow night. Right now, we're going to have you pose with one or two of these girls, basketball stars. And then I want to say in closing that on Monday morning at 6:30 and 12 noon, we'll be reporting on some of our interviews with Secretary of Agriculture today. Okay, Bobby.
Herb, all of us are mighty proud of the opportunity to have the United States Secretary of Agriculture as our guest. May we again thank you, Mr. Secretary. And now to Lucia Thorne and her number, Fool That I Am.
Fool that I am for falling in love with you. Fool that I am for thinking you loved me too. You took my heart, then played the part of little coquette. My dreams just disappeared like the smoke from a cigarette. Fool that I am for hoping you'd understand and thinking you would listen to the things I'd planned. But we couldn't see eye to eye, so darling, this is goodbye. But I still care, fool that I am. Fool that I am for hoping you'd understand and thinking you would listen to the things I'd planned. But we couldn't see eye to eye, so darling, this is goodbye. But I still care who that I am.
Thank you, Lucia. That was fine. And now, Herb, this is a pretty busy place. Do you have something?
It really is a busy place for all of us. But I think by now the listeners have noticed that I've had a little too much basketball myself, at least judging by the voice. So we're going to turn this over to Howard Haas, who's going to have the honor of interviewing one of the teams, and then Chuck, and then perhaps a little later the rest of us.
Thank you, Herb. I'm going to visit with the Slater team, who lost their semifinal game last night to Wilton, 40-35. Tonight, however, they're going to be on the floor again, and they're going to be playing Hartley at 7:30 at the Drake Fuel House for the consolation game. Andy Butt, a veteran girls basketball coach, directs the Slater team, Andy, will you give us the name of the girls you use in your starting lineup?